Dr. Diana Wiley, and I am your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. My guest, Joan Price. Here's a quote from her. I love this quote. I'm pulling senior sex out from under the covers and showing people of my age, as well as those older and younger, that we don't need to give up on our sexuality just because our bodies are older. Amen, Joan Price. Joan Price, welcome to this program once again. It's been too long since you've been on, and I'm so pleased you're back.
Always happy to be talking to you, Diana.
Thank you, Joan. I want to tell the listeners that you are the author of, your most recent one is The Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, How to Maintain or Regain a Spicy, Satisfying Sex Life. But you started with Better Than I Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60, and Naked. Well, I guess you didn't start with that one. You started with Naked at Our Age.
No, I started with Better Than I Ever Expected.
Okay, good.
And then went to
Talking
Naked at
Out
Our
Loud
Age.
About senior sex. And then the quote that I just gave was your foreword from, it's such a spicy, sexy book, Ageless Erotica, edited by you, Joan Price, with all these amazing, well-written, erotic stories that are really, really sexy.
That was one of my favorite projects through my entire life, was editing Ageless Erotica, working with these really talented erotica writers who were all over 50, and they were writing stories about characters who were also over 50, many way over 50, some over 80. And one of the rules of the anthology was that the seniors had to be portrayed in a steamy way, yet still in a realistic way. So if they had arthritis that prevented them, say, kneeling for any length of time, or perhaps providing manual stimulation, then the writer had to find an accommodation that would work. And it was wonderful working with them. They're such smart people, and their stories are wonderful. I hope your listeners will want to get hold of that, Ageless Erotica.
Yeah, I think it's even good for younger people, because can realize that sex doesn't stop just because you're, say, over 50. But I love the book. I'm recommending, all of your books, but Ageless Erotica is especially good for women to read if they're masturbating and trying to reach orgasm, because women do better reading, in my experience, 35 years of doing this work, women do better reading erotica than even watching porn. Somehow it helps them focus.
And many do. It depends. Yeah. We all have different preferences.
Well, sure.
Some women really respond to porn, and others don't want to see anything that graphic. They'd rather use their imagination a little more.
Yes, yes. So I want people to go to your website, and I'll put it up when I do the summary of this show, joanprice.com. There's so much information there, and there's a great interview that you do. There are several YouTube kind of interviews posted there.
Yes.
And one is when you're on Fox, and it's Sex RX. I thought the interviewer was a little sex negative, because somehow it seemed as though he had given up. He said he was, 58 or something. So one of his questions was, and I think it's a good way to start with you, is why do people give up?
That's such a big question.
I know.
Mainly it's because things change. They change, our bodies change, our medical situation changes, our relationships change, maybe they get stagnant or they change in unpleasant ways, or they go away and we have no relationships. So our lives, we're not who we thought we would be when we were imagining at age 20 who we might become, and
right.
They're not even what we might have imagined 10 years ago, because we can't predict how these things
yeah.
will go. So everything has an impact on our sexuality,
mm-hmm.
whether directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. If we're no longer interested in, if we think maybe, oh my gosh, I married the wrong person, then maybe we're not going to be turned on by that person anymore. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. if we, or if we're having a medical condition, and either the condition itself or the treatment for it makes our sexual arousal more difficult. This is a huge thing among our age group. There's so many reasons that things might be different than we wanted them to be or than we expected, and the things that used to work for us aren't working anymore. But that's not a reason to give up. It is a reason that people do give up.
Right.
But instead, my motto is, for every problem, there is a solution.
And, yes, and that's such a good motto. And then you also say that since arousal may be slower, you can consider it an opportunity to explore yes. what might be new and fun and exciting. And then the brain is going to release more dopamine, the hormone of arousal, because it's new. You've got some novelty that you're bringing into the relationship.
Exactly. And too often we're held back by our notion that sex is supposed to look a certain way, be a certain set pattern of actions, have a certain set goal in mind, when if instead of that we just open ourselves to this huge buffet of sexual opportunity. It might not be intercourse. It might be something else that we didn't even know would be so exciting. Mm-hmm. It might be just saying to a partner, tell me what you like. Let me share something I'd love for us to do. Or I've had this fantasy. And the ultimate guide is full of conversations that you can have with a new partner, with a long-term partner, or with yourself.
Or with yourself, yes. I talk to people because I see all ages in my practice, and it's usually the woman of any age, but especially, well, even starting around 30, it's often the woman with a lower sex drive, but it seems to compound right around menopause and beyond. But research suggests that for more than half the population, sexual desire doesn't just happen, that most have to be physically stimulated to feel desire. Yeah. So that people who think they need to be in the mood to have sex might, in fact, need to have sex to get in the mood. In other words, yes. arousal precedes desire.
Exactly, and I teach that.
Yes, I know you do.
It's responsive desire rather than spontaneous desire. So
uh-huh.
if your listeners aren't familiar with that, they go, wait, we need arousal to be in the mood? Wait, slow down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we often, and I would say as the older we get, the more this is true for us.
Yes.
We respond to the physical stimulation, mm-hmm. and then the emotional comes in. It sort of goes, it gets kick-started by mm-hmm. being physiologically aroused, and then it can bloom. And if we are just hanging around saying, well, when I'm in the mood, I'll do it, we may never have sex again.
That's very true. That's very true. And there is the use it or lose it factor, too. And that's why masturbation, and we're going to talk a little more about that and why it's important, but masturbation certainly can be a powerful libido booster for women because it turns out that sexual desire really is, for men and for women, use it or lose it.
Yes.
It's a use it or lose it function.
I have a question for you as a therapist, Diana, and I didn't
yes.
warn you I was going to ask this, so you're going to be surprised. But I'm increasingly hearing from people, usually women, though not exclusively, that say, I'm done with sex, and my partner isn't very happy about that, but that's just the way it's going to be. I'm not interested anymore. And then I say, well, then does your partner have a hall pass to find satisfaction with someone else? Oh, no, we'd have to divorce first, and we don't want to get divorced. If a couple like that came to you, Diana, how would you even start?
First of all, I have the philosophy that that it's unfair. It's unfair. If the woman says, I don't have to satisfy your sexual needs, but I expect you to be remain faithful in our marriage.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're coming in to get some help, so that often helps a little. But it's just, it's not fair for the woman to have that expectation. And I even suggest to jumpstart her arousal before desire, that maybe in addition to being open to his sexual stimulation, that she occasionally gives him a gift. For instance, in good marriages, people give their spouses what they want, even if they don't always feel they want the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Make cheesecake even though you'd rather have chocolate cake.
Exactly. But maybe you were looking for a little bit more than that, Joan. Were you in terms of...
Well, I'm just... I want to say to these women, Well, first of all, would you give sex a chance again in your life? Would you open yourselves to maybe seeing whether there is a type of sex or type of intimate connection that you would enjoy? Maybe what you're thinking of as sex, in quotes, is just intercourse, and maybe that hurts now or for some reason is not pleasant or appealing. Is there a way you can change what you do together rather than saying it's all or nothing and from now on it's nothing?
Right.
And if that's not possible, how can we hold a partner in a monogamous agreement if we're not really agreeing to what the partner signed on for?
I agree with you totally. And,
is this too heavy
and
for
sometimes the woman
Diane,
needs.
Are we going too far here?
Are we going too far?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Good.
No. This is. I really appreciate that we are talking openly and we're telling the truth, your truth from interviewing many, many people and writing, let's see, 3 books and editing one. Is that more or less correct?
That's pretty much.
And
you've been talking to me for 12 years about this.
Yes, because you started in 2005, didn't you?
I did. You're so off on this. My goodness.
Oh, well, I do my homework, of course. And so I think It's very, very important to be generous and to have sexual motivation that includes maybe maintenance sex.
Maintenance sex, maintenance for the relationship.
Maintenance for the relationship and to have sexual motivation that includes wanting to please your partner. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the nice thing is that sometimes the woman say, because most of the time it's the woman with a lower desire, but not always. But if the woman says, all right, you know, I'm going to give my partner a gift here, and I'm going to see, I'm going to be open, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to see how it feels to be stimulated. And even Amy Poehler wrote in her memoir, a couple of years ago, and what she said is, let's see if I can find the quote. Her memoir blew up the feminist biosphere, and here's the quote. You have to have sex with your husband occasionally, even though you're exhausted. Sorry, end quote.
Oh, it should be more pleasure than that.
Well, it is, and that's what your work is about and my work, too. So let's give our listeners, and by the way, listeners, I know that we have listeners from around the globe, including Australia, Indonesia, and on and on and on, and many of you are younger, and I know that, but continue to listen because you're listening to two senior women who have lots of experience with sexuality. And so you can learn some things. Don't you think, Joan?
And the only alternative to getting old yourself is to die young, and who wants that?
Well, exactly, exactly. So, so you talk about staying sexual when we don't have a partner, too.
I do.
Yes, yes. And that's important. I mean, you write, or you said to me, I think you write it, too, you know, why should we bother and how do we do that? How do we stay sexual when we don't have a partner? And then after we talk about that and some other things related to being alone, we'll circle back to partner relationships too.
Okay, good. Yeah, this is so big because many of us, myself included, we are not partnered right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there is another partner coming our way, riding that steed towards us, trying to figure out which house number is ours. But maybe there isn't. Whether or not there is, it's so important to keep ourselves sexually healthy. It's good for our general health. It's
mm-hmm.
certainly good for our sexual health. And in the Ultimate Guide to Sex After 50, I have a list of 33 reasons that sex is good for you. And by sex, I mean anything that brings you sexual arousal and orgasm. I don't mean it has to be partner sex. You can take care of that just fine. Just you and a sex toy and an adventuresome spirit will be all it takes. But we are not all so lucky as to have partners. And it is really important to make dates with ourselves and
mm-hmm.
to give ourselves those delights of sexual arousal and satisfaction, and just to be in the moment with ourselves, to realize that our bodies are still capable of this wonderful gift. My goodness, how we were created to be able to do that. How wonderful. What a waste not to use it. You agree?
Absolutely, and we'll perhaps get into this with a little more detail, how really beneficial remaining sexual is for your health, your physical health, and dealing with stress and so on. So you say for hot solo sex after 60 or could be after 50, so you need to plan for it and make dates with yourself, as you said.
And one reason for that,
mm-hmm.
it's not just, isn't that cute, make a date with yourself. No,
mm-hmm.
it's not cute. It's really important because of what we were talking about before, that
mm-hmm.
we may not have that mood for sex. We may not have that desire that's saying, ooh, I haven't had sex in a while. Isn't it time to bring my favorite sex toy into the bedroom for a while and lock the door?
Mm-hmm.
We may not be feeling that, but if we schedule it, I recommend scheduling it twice a week.
Yeah.
So that we actually get around to it maybe once a week because things interfere.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always be sure. But
yeah.
Put it on the calendar.
Right.
And just, I'm sorry, I have an appointment at this time. I can talk to you 2 hours later.
That's right. Put it on the calendar. It's so important. We put so many things on the calendar, but not often enough things that are for our own pleasure.
Yeah, we seem to think that if something is just for our own pleasure, that it can't be as important as what other people need us to do. Oh, yeah, it is.
I call it enlightened selfishness.
Woohoo, I like that.
Oh, it's so important because how having orgasms is good for our health and our happiness, and you can certainly have solo orgasms, and sometimes they're the best because we don't have to worry about pleasing a partner.
Right.
We can just focus
right.
in, and I have many clients who, oh, even younger ones, you know, they've had orgasms through self-stimulation, but not with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, there are ways to learn how to do that. But right now we're talking about solo sex and why it's important for the older woman. And you also say, and I read this on your website, joanprice.com, enjoy your high energy times. Expand on that a little bit, Joan.
Okay, this is This is something I call track the tingle.
Oh, I like that.
I know. I love it, too. And
I had
never heard anyone talk about that before, but it really helps.
Yeah.
And that is the idea that we aren't the same degree of sexually responsive throughout the day. It isn't a flat line. Instead,
mm-hmm.
there are ebbs and flows and peaks and valleys where
mm-hmm.
we might be more arousable at a certain time of day and less arousable at another. For example, for many people, when they first wake up is
mm-hmm.
their high arousal period. For others, it might be after some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It might be after a nap in the afternoon. It is definitely not after a meal.
No, because I have to explain this to a lot of my clients, the male clients who are older and have erectile dysfunction, and their urologists, for whatever reason, don't explain to them that they should not take Viagra or Cialis or one of the other PDE5 inhibitors after a meal because you have too much blood digesting the food instead of going to the man's penis.
I don't understand why. Well, I think maybe many doctors don't understand this concept themselves.
Well, they don't. Many doctors are misinformed about sexuality anyway. Or as you write, I'm so glad you wrote this, Joan, on your website. They think that older sexuality is funny and they're embarrassed to talk about it.
Yeah.
So you've got to ask for a referral.
Yes.
If you come up to a doctor like that who doesn't want to talk about your sexuality, ask for a referral. I've been in Seattle now 8 years, and I'm beginning to get pretty well established with the medical community, and I do get referrals from urologists and OBGYNs and naturopaths. I work with a naturopath specializing in sexual medicine. So you get a nice combination of mind-body approach, which is essential to robust sexuality, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then you say we're going on with tips for hot solo sex.
You wanted to say more about the high energy times.
Yeah.
The track the tingle, if people are not familiar with this idea of different arousability times, if you just go through a couple of days of tracking it, of asking yourself, you don't have to change anything in what you do, just ask yourself, how arousable do I feel right now? And you might be surprised to learn that your, as I call it, tingle time is not what you thought and is not when you've been having sex.
Yeah.
So you need to then schedule your sex dates during your tingle times.
Yeah, good. Good. That's excellent.
That's how all that fits together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Schedule those dates.
Right.
Of course, this could be also pretty important for partnered sex.
It is absolutely important for partnered sex.
Yeah.
And I once had a couple come to me and say, we have this insurmountable problem.
Mm-hmm.
We've read your work. We understand about the track the tingle and scheduling sex. But he likes sex the best at 9 in the morning. I don't like it then. I like it at 4 in the afternoon. He doesn't want to stop what he's doing then. So we're at an impasse. So I suggested, okay, here's what you, this is really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule 2 sex dates during the week. One of them is at 9 o'clock in the morning, and one of them is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And both of you concentrate on the person who likes it at that time. It doesn't have to be me, then you, every time you have sex. It can be, this one's for you, baby, because I love you, and this one's for me, baby, because you love me.
I think that's brilliant, Joan, and I'm going to incorporate that in my practice.
All right.
I mean, I, of course, suggest sex dates and putting sex on the calendar, and I even suggest times where couples will take turns pleasuring each other just for the other's pleasure.
Yes.
So one time the woman just pleasures the man for like half an hour, and then another time he pleasures her for half an hour. And that can also be useful because they're learning each other's bodies and responsiveness. But I like this. It's a subtle difference where you concentrate on your partner. So whether it's 9 in the morning or 4 in the afternoon, right?
That's right. If he likes it best at 9 in the morning, then at 9 in the morning, it's all for him. And you know what happens, of course. Once you're pleasuring your partner and you're seeing how excited your partner is and how much pleasure you're giving, you're probably going to get excited yourself, too.
Yes, of course, and that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also say be sure and have a silky lube. And this is important because so many women are experiencing dry vaginal tissues and even thinning vaginal walls. And a little aside here, I suggest to women, if they don't have a partner, to masturbate with a dildo sex toy, you know, that can be in their little toy chest.
Mm-hmm.
Because putting the dildo in the vagina and during sexual arousal and stimulation, doing the Kegels onto that dildo then helps keep her vaginal walls more supple. And they won't thin so readily. And this is another example, of course, of use it or lose it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And a vibrating dildo will stimulate the tissues more and bring more blood flow to the tissue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
Yes.
And lubricant with everything.
With everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't expect it. Don't think of it as that there's something wrong with you because
yeah.
you need lubricant. No, it's an enhancement. Aren't we lucky there is lubricant? Yay.
I know. In 1992, I was on the Joan Rivers show for the first time, and I brought some Astroglide. It was kind of brand new then, 1992. And I gave her a bottle of it at the end of the show. I had talked about some of the advantages of Astroglide. So the camera came right down and looked at the bottle of Astroglide. And right after the show, which was filmed in New York City, there were calls from pharmacists as far away as Canada. You know, where can we get this Astroglide?
No yes. kidding.
I mean, this is the history of it.
Wow.
And, well, you know, 1992, but now it's all kinds of lubricants.
Yes, and many are much better than Astroglide. Astroglide really has not kept up with our needs.
Yeah, I'm still a little... I don't totally agree. I mean, for some, I think it's kind of an... But I had an early allegiance with them. And,
right,
and,
but...
Yeah, but I know for older women, it may not be quite right.
Right, it isn't.
Hmm. Yeah.
But there are many that are really wonderful. And
What are some ones that you like?
Well, I love Uber Lube, silicone lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... incredible. It's my favorite. If, though, you're using a silicone toy, then you can't use a silicone lubricant at the same time. They interact, or they may interact. So what you would need is a water-based lubricant, and there are some wonderful ones, too. I have links on my blog, nakedatourage.com, to some companies that sell only the best, only the most luscious lubricants, and people can find a whole assortment, depending on what they need. You know, depending on how they're going to use them, whether it needs to be condom compatible, whether it needs to be silicone sex toy compatible. So there are a few things to consider, and many to choose from. It's delightful. It's a wonderful world we live in that respect.
It is. It is. And then you, of course, go on with your hot tips or your 10 tips for hot solo sex. Sex toys, and we've already alluded to sex toys, and they are an amazing resource. Again, I go back in my history to, I just done a senior sex presentation with Dr. Walter Bortz and at the Palo Alto Senior Center, and it was an ongoing senior sexuality presentation, and then the results of all of this we put together a paper that was later published in medical journals. But I had a number of senior ladies from that presentation come and do a group with me in my Palo Alto office. So this is back, I think about early 90s, mid-90s. And Good Vibrations was just getting started in San Francisco.
Ah.
And I remember this was, just before Christmas. And so about five senior ladies left my office giggling this one day after a group session because they were going to make a field trip to Good Vibrations. And
good.
And they were going to find sex toys. Well, a lot has changed since then. Now everything's so much more open, and you can go on websites and get great descriptions of the sex toys, and including on your website.
You can read reviews on my website.
And reviews. So let's talk about... So Hitachi, I guess, was one that a lot of your women liked.
Yes. It's the magic wand, and it's no longer owned by Hitachi.
Right.
So it's the magic wand, but we still affectionately call it the Hitachi because that's what we've called it for 30 years.
Yes, yes.
But it isn't now. It is just the magic wand. And it has been improved several times over. It's now It now has a rechargeable model, so you don't have to have that cord hanging off and strangling yourself. And you also can get it with a silicone head, so you don't you're not stuck with the old style that eventually discolored and was slightly permeable. And this is brand new. This is really wonderful how they've improved it.
You know who showed me an early model of that? This is a little bit of name dropping, but Betty Dotson. I was in her apartment right across from the Empire State Building, New York City. I think 4 years ago, and we were talking, and then she was on my show later. But she showed me. She said, "I've been using the Hitachi wands for my." Of course, she had. Some of the listeners may not know, but. She's been famous. She's now in her 80s, and she's just a remarkable woman.
Yes, she
is. Kind of called the masturbation maven because she would have groups of women in her apartment in a circle, naked, using Hitachi wands on their vulvas, their clitorises, and... She brought out this new model. She said, "I've been in consultation with these folks." I think it was the first kind of model, rechargeable, smaller, a little less powerful because some women would have to put a washcloth between the head and their genitals in order to tolerate it.
The current Magic Wand rechargeable is every bit as big and it's stronger. It has four speeds, so you can go to a lower speed.
Right.
The old style one had two speeds.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, high and super turbo.
I do, Joan, I really like some of the Wii Vibe, Wii-Vibe.com, the Touch, the Tango, the Nova. And these go at six different speeds and can recharge. And plus, they're quiet.
Mm-hmm.
They're very quiet. And so I know a lot of my clients like the Wii Vibe.
Yes. And there are a number of nice, smaller ones that are not quite as strong as the Magic Wand. But not everyone needs it that strong. For those who do, yay, it's available.
Yes. And as women age, their nerve supply or their nerves may diminish some, so they need extra stimulation.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I also discovered when I was at UCLA's Female Sexual Medicine Center 10 years ago that we discovered that women who had not masturbated as teenagers probably had not laid down the neural pathways from the genitals to the brain, and they almost always need extra stimulation in order to reach reach orgasm. And so I have younger women who, I'll question them, did you masturbate as a teenager? No, I didn't. And sometimes there are religious overlays. And so if you have a woman like that, and or even a woman who used to have orgasms, and now they find they're kind of muted, you know, sex toys are useful for all of them.
Oh, absolutely. I always say a well-placed, well-chosen sex toy can be the difference between an orgasm and no orgasm. Mm. Sometimes that simple.
And don't you get feedback from people you talk to that it added a lot of play? I mean, sex toys are adult toys, so it added a lot of playtime.
Yeah.
Having a well-chosen sex toy.
So just between us, I don't even see them as toys. I see them as tools.
Oh, good. Very nice.
I'll call them toys because that's what people recognize. But they're not toys. They're tools. They're tools.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Every bit as important as wearing a knee brace when you go dancing is having a sex toy for your orgasms.
And speaking of dancing, I hope you're still dancing, Joan.
Oh, I am. I teach contemporary line dancing.
I thought you were, and I saw that on your website. This keeps you vital. And
it does.
The blood
it
flowing.
Does. It keeps the blood flowing. It also keeps the mind vital because, as with many kinds of dance, you have to memorize choreography.
Oh,
it's not
right.
A listen-follow kind of dance. Each person independently is memorizing choreography. So for me to teach it makes it even more of a learning practice for me.
So it's good for your brain, too.
So good. And, you know, there are so many lists of what will delay the onset of Alzheimer's. And they'll say exercise, social activity, intellectual activity. And what I love is that line dancing, like many forms of dance, combines all three.
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. What I don't like about some of those...
One hour of line is worth 3 hours of other things.
Ah, yes. Yeah, well, that's a good point. What I don't like about a lot of these lists, and I read them in magazines and newspapers, is that a lot of them don't even mention sexual activity.
I know.
And it's, I am fortunate because I've had a partner now for 6.5 years. I've described him to you in the past, Brian, and so we have an ongoing, really hot sexual life, and I'm so grateful for it. I don't take it for granted ever.
Good.
But I call it my fountain of youth.
Yes.
I mean, it's just so good. For both of us, because we're both seniors, and so in terms of fighting stress with sex, I wanted to mention a couple of things about the stress response and get your reaction.
Sure.
So partnered sex has been shown to reduce people's reactivity to stress, but sex may actually charge our brain so that we can cope with future stress. And here's a study that I found fascinating. It was done with rats, but, you know, they have very similar brains to human brains.
Oh, those rats and their orgasms, eh?
Uh-huh. Yep. So this was a 2010 survey. It found, or study, research study, that found that rats who had daily sex for 2 weeks stopped producing extra... Well, it's a long name, but it's the rat equivalent of cortisol.
Mm-hmm.
And this led them to act less anxious in stressful situations and promoted neural growth that would have otherwise been suppressed by the cortisol-like hormones. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
And I think, you know, I remember oh, 30 years ago, hearing Marion Diamond lecture at Stanford University when I was in Palo Alto, and she had studied rats for years, and their brains in particular, and she had slides, and she showed rats that had desert-like brains, because they'd kill them after the study, I'm sorry to say, but they did, so they could get the information. And so the rats that had no stimulation, they were alone in cages, their brains looked like deserts, but the rats that had stimulation, their brains looked like jungles. And but then, here's the reason I'm bringing this up. Marion Diamond got very competitive with a rat brain researcher in Germany. And what they were doing in Germany at the time was every night before the lab researchers, before they put the rats in their cages for the night, they would stroke them. And these rats lived the equivalent 20 years longer. You know, it's similar dog, human, I've forgotten what it is. So stroke your rat.
It's really important. Stroke your rat.
I know.
Could we say that a better way?
We could say that, of course. We can say anything here.
Stroke
but it's
your pet.
Oh, and we know that helps older people, too, having a pet. Yeah, so...
And there are those who call their genitals their pets or some form of that. So
I know.
There we go.
And for people that are a little shy, giving their genitals names can be helpful, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yes. So you talk about the tips for hot solo sex health benefits, and we've been just talking about that. And you say, finally, not in the mood, do it anyway. And we've also talked a bit about that. And you talk about quick and easy tips for easier arousal. We've talked solo. Let's talk a little bit about partnered sex.
Okay, I think the main, and I believe you're going to agree with it, that the main tip to making sex better with a partner is to use the C word, communicate.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And there are some tips for communicating. It's best to talk about sex when you're not naked and under the covers. Would you agree?
I absolutely do agree. I think sometimes having that conversation on a car trip... Your partner can't get out of the car.
But then you can't look each other in the eyes, which is
true. That's a good point.
But yeah. I've heard the car trick recommendation before. I would suggest, since I'm always promoting doing exercise with whatever you're doing, and by the way, I've gotten a lot of steps during this interview, but I'll tell you that later if you want, is to take a walk in the park or someplace you like, some nice residential area if there's no park nearby, somewhere quiet where you're not going to be overheard, and talk about sex then. Sit down at the park bench, look each other in the eye, I also recommend, and I'd like to know if you agree with this, that if you're going to have what might turn out to be a hard discussion about sex, like you're really trying to change someone's behavior towards you about sex, that maybe give the person a heads up and say, I love making love with you, and there are some ways that I've been thinking that I might enjoy sex even more. Could we get together tomorrow about 2, take a walk, and talk about this?
So you schedule the talk as well, and I think that's a very good suggestion.
And that way your partner knows what's coming and can think about it, well, what might I want to say about this? If you just sort of surprise the person and blurt out something that you want to change, your partner might go on the defensive without really being able to receive what you're trying to say.
Yes.
And in fact, when you make the appointment, you could even say, be thinking of things you might want to say to me about that.
Oh, yes. Oh, those are very good suggestions, Joan. To be thinking about it.
Should I be a therapist in my next life, Diana?
Oh, absolutely. You're already a therapist.
I feel like one sometimes, although I don't have the credentials.
There's been a lot of thinking. Yes, and also so much thinking and research and writing. Mm. And I think I got mentioned in your first book.
You surely did.
Thank you. Candida Royale. You know, she put us in touch. And, you know, she, I'm so very sorry that she has died. It was such a loss.
Right up until the end, she was so generous.
Yes.
She wrote for Naked at Our Age, though she was not feeling well.
Yes.
She also wrote a piece for my blog about sex educators who were not having sex.
Ah, yeah.
And there were about three people who weighed in there about, okay, now this is what I do, but this is where I am in my life. And I'll have to maybe bring that blog post to the front again, because that was a very interesting one.
Yes, and she wrote in your first book about when you don't have a partner, about solo sex.
Yes,
and
exactly.
doing a lot of the things that you're suggesting, setting the scene and.
I
missed her so much. You know, I've shared with you off the air that Candace and I were friends for 20 years, and I visited her about a year in New York, stayed with her about a year before she died, and She was so brave, and she contributed so much. So some of our listeners may not recognize her name. Candida Royale was the first producer, director, writer of erotic films for couples to watch. And she began
porn, we could call it, too.
What did you call it? What?
Feminist porn.
Yeah, you could call it that. But she always preferred the word erotica.
Okay.
And she started in 1984 when technology had just enabled us to move out of the dirty adult theaters. I'm putting dirty in quotes.
Yeah.
And people could watch the videos at home. And then she created, at the end of her life, she had created about 20 films. And they were really couple compatible because they had a plot. A lot of women wonder, well, how come, to put it in the vernacular, how come this couple is fucking? Well, because they like each other. They're in a relationship. And she would pick couples that were really in a relationship. And they did have a plot, and the lighting was good, and so on and so forth. Her company, Femme, F-E-M-M-E, still produces these, or makes these videos available. So, anyway, we miss her. And
she
I know you,
pioneer.
Tell me about your relationship with her, because you did. You had a relationship with her.
Well, I never knew her personally, except that I met her at a couple of conferences. But we came together because I admired her work, and I invited her to be a part of Naked at Our Age. And was very eager to do that. She wanted not just to be known as a film producer of couple-friendly and female-friendly erotica, but she wanted to share the so much knowledge she had. She wrote a few books, and they're very good. They're still available.
How to Tell a Naked Man What to Do, and my blurb is on the back cover. And that's a wonderful book, How to Tell a Naked Man What to Do.
Yeah,
it's great. Anyway, go on. I'm sorry I didn't interrupt you.
No, there isn't much more than that. She then wrote a wonderful testimonial for Naked at Our Age, which I have on my website with her photo.
Yes.
Yeah, there's so many, a lot of younger people. I'm going to talk to the younger people in your audience right now. It's important to get a historical perspective on where these sexual rights that you may take for granted came from. They were hard fought.
Oh, I'm so glad you're saying that. Go on with that,
yeah.
Because that's important.
It is important, and it's a part of our sexuality that people don't really know, unless they're our age and they've been following this for decades.
Yeah.
But we did not own our sexuality. When I grew up in the 50s, mm-hmm. I was born in 1943. I'm 73 as we talk.
Mm-hmm.
When I got my sex education, all it was here's how girls get pregnant and here's why you shouldn't do it.
Right.
That was it.
And your father, as I remember, was an OBGYN.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But even so, you didn't quite get the education much more than the anatomical penis goes in the vagina and you create a baby.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just sperm meets the egg. I didn't even know after reading the pamphlet that I was given how the sperm got anywhere near the egg.
Yeah.
That had been left out of the pamphlet. I know. But then more than that, we were always taught that good girls didn't. That
mm-hmm.
boys had this sex drive, and they were going to try, because boys will be boys. So they're going to try. But why buy the cow if you get the milk free?
Oh, I got the same messages.
You got that, too.
So absolutely.
People growing up now don't realize that just two generations ago, that's what we were. And yet, we thought for ourselves. We came out of this thinking for ourselves and saying, that's just wrong. That's wrong. And standing up for what we felt was right, for feminism, for more open sexuality, and you may think maybe we went a little too far in that direction, or maybe just far enough, because we did rebel mightily in the 60s and 70s. But I think all of that was really important for setting the groundwork where now people who are young now, are coming of age, or who are in their 20s and 30s and even 40s, what you expect in as far as access to sex-based information. And there was no internet at that time, understand.
Of course.
There was no way to just find out on our own.
I remember searching for information.
Yes, me too.
And
I went through my father's medical books.
Yes, medical books, yes.
And you know what was missing from the diagram of the woman's genitals?
The clitoris.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
There was no such thing. I think I would have remembered it because I would have had to look that up.
Because you were a curious young woman.
Yeah. I was, well, what's that? No. It wasn't there. Because
wasn't
it was
there.
Just for pleasure. And
well, that's
pleasure
right.
A lot of,
part of my work as a sex therapist is being a sex educator, and so I'll point out sometimes that the clitoris has 6,000 to 8,000 nerve fibers, the penis has 4,000. The only purpose for the clitoris is pleasure. That's it. There is no other purpose for it.
But do you remember when women were called frigid if they didn't have an orgasm through intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I do.
Well, most women don't. I think only 25% do. And I would suspect that gets lower as you get older.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, 25%. It's some women can learn to have orgasms with intercourse. Maybe their G-spot orgasms or their cervix orgasms. Or they can learn it when they're younger, too.
But that doesn't have to be a goal.
What?
That doesn't have to be a goal. The goal should be
to
teach the partner what to do with the clitoris.
Well, exactly. Exactly. What did, and that's actually where some visuals can, a little plug for the sex education videos that I've done over the years, about six of them for the Sinclair Institute, and most recently Great Sex for a Lifetime, which can be accessed at bettersex.com. But these videos, volume one and two, were designed for baby boomers. And we can learn visually. And I will suggest to a number of my clients, even younger clients, I'll loan them my videos. And they're helpful because we can learn visually. And, yeah. And men sometimes are a little bit, can be uncomfortable with cunnilingus because they don't know what to do. So if you see it, it helps.
Yeah. And if we learn to communicate, if we can't say the words, yes, I like that, or no, a little to the right, or not
right.
so hard, we can do it through moans and gestures. And there are so many ways to communicate if we just realize that mind reading has been way overrated, and we mustn't depend on that as a way to tell the partner what we want.
It's like going on a treasure hunt without any clues, for goodness sakes. Joan, we're coming to the end of the program, and I'll speak with you off the air, but I'm really wanting you back. You know, we did a past show on orgasms, which was really useful. I mean, this is another topic that is not discussed enough, and it's a big problem for at least a lot of my clients. And I think we should also talk about, well, we didn't get into it, but the New York Times article on grief.
Yes.
And sexuality. I'd like to discuss that more with you because it's called sexual bereavement.
Yes.
And it's associated with losing sexual intimacy with a long-term partner.
Right.
And
that we don't talk about it, that even our best friends don't bring
it
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have more things to talk about. So off the air, I'll try to pin you down for another a time on the show. And
great.
I'm hoping that maybe on your website you can, because sometimes people that, it's called cross-fertilization, I guess, you know, people that have been on the show will put an interview that we did.
Yes, what I usually do is do that on my Naked at Our Age Facebook page.
Okay, good.
I'll link to it as soon as I get the link to where people can listen to it.
So I write the review, and then it's usually, since it's in New York, it's coming up on 7 o'clock, it's usually not archived till the next day. But I'll write the review shortly.
And I have a newsletter now that I didn't before, and I'm giving webinars now. So
good. I want to talk with you about that, too.
Is that okay?
I mean, you're getting the word out, Joan. It's wonderful.
I'm doing my best. I'm scurrying as fast as my little tiny legs will carry me.
I know, and that's excellent. And so we have a new producer, and usually we're stopped by this time, but
a link to my newsletter, and then people can get the news about the webinars and all the other things I'm doing.
Yeah, so
I'll send that to you.
Is that on your website?
No, it's a separate.
Okay, send that to me if you can as soon as the show officially ends.
Sure.
And I will put it up on the summary.
Excellent.
Okay. Joan,
thank you.
You are an amazing woman, and I'm so grateful that you have put out so much good information. It's really essential, because what we lack is sexual education, and especially among senior sex, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, there's the music.
Uh-oh. Gotta
so
go then.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
hey, to leave you, Diana. Thank you, and thank you, listeners.
Yes, and thank you, listeners, and be back again next week. Thank you, Joan. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My boy Getty, tap, 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 ooh.